It's 8 o'clock. This is KVNF Regional News for Wednesday, July 15th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Grand Junction Fire Department responded to an early morning blaze yesterday at Western Colorado Community College. Sean Montgomery is with Grand Junction Fire. He says a witness reported they saw a vehicle burning at the college's shop facility.
Truck 3 responded, initially got there and saw that there were three cars that were fully involved in a secured area at the school. So what happened there is we responded a few other engines and made entry through the secured gate and laid down some foam, knocking the blaze down, and then we were able to put the fire out.
Montgomery says officials are calling the blaze suspicious.
Yeah, three vehicles in a secured area at a community college, that doesn't happen. So the fact that it did is very suspicious, and everything's currently under investigation right now.
The Ouray County Sheriff's Office is searching for a suspect who reportedly injured two officers. Officials say a Ouray County Sheriff's deputy and Ouray police officer were injured and taken to the hospital after an encounter with 39-year-old Morgan Walker. Officials say he's wanted on multiple charges and has a history of eluding and resisting arrest, aggravated assault, battery, theft, and domestic abuse. Police say Walker is 6 feet tall, weighs about 215 pounds, has blonde hair and green eyes. It's reported he was last seen wearing a red shirt and fleeing on foot in the town of Ouray. Officials are advising people not to approach him if they see him, but rather call law enforcement. A former Olathe police chief suspected of using the town's tax-free status to buy ammunition and sell it to private individuals was formally advised Monday. Rick Hawk stands accused of misuse of official information and official misconduct. The Daily Press reports a Montrose District Court judge advised Hawk of the penalties those offenses carry. The paper reports Hawk's next court date is in late September. A former Eagle County employee who admitted to embezzling more than $124,000 from the clerk and recorder's office will spend 2 years in a prison-based work release program. The Vail Daily reports Brenda Wright stole county funds for at least a 5-year period between 2010 and 2014. The paper points out, ironically, Wright was part of a team who trained other Eagle County staffers to spot and stop theft and embezzlement. An unused state tax credit for low to moderate income workers will go into effect for the next tax year. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The earned income tax credit is based off of federal returns. The maximum federal credit is $6,000. Colorado's state earned income tax credit is 10% of that, or $600. Allie Michelson is a tax attorney with the Colorado Fiscal Institute. She says the changes will target families that earn around $30,000 each year, going up to about $50,000.
There's a lot of people that benefit from the EITC. It's teachers, it's managers of stores, it's just working families all across the state.
A surplus under the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights triggered the credit, and now that it's activated, it will stay in effect permanently. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
A recent post on icchange.org talked about strange sounds coming from a listener's garden. KVNF's Jake Ryan has more.
Denise Weaver lives in Sanborn Park, near Norwood. Her and her husband have lived there for 10 years. For the first time this spring, they heard something a little unfamiliar.
Well, we have 10 acres of property, and we have a garden that we're expanding, and we were out there, you know, constructing parts of the garden, and we were hearing these strange noises, and it was sort of like this humming noise, and my husband eventually sort of studied the trees and found what looked like a little locust.
Denise asked around, and eventually a local farmer said that they were probably cicadas and not to be worried at all. Still, she had some questions.
You know, based on the fact that we were hearing these cicadas for the first time in, you know, 10 years, is there actually a cycle where there's an 11-year cicada in the Colorado vicinity? And if there is, you know, is it triggered by, you know, temperature? Is it because we've had a lot of rain, or is it because it's dry? And do they actually evolve to the point where they, you know, cause damage to the trees or to gardens or, you know, crops and things like that?
Hi, Denise. This is John Cooley.
John Cooley is a researcher at the University of Connecticut. He's studied cicadas extensively.
There are a couple of interesting things to note about your situation and the question that you asked. First of all, as you noted, these are cicadas, although you called them locusts. And that's something that's interesting. It's unusually American to call these animals locusts. And that goes back to the 1600s in Massachusetts, when colonists who were of a religious mind first experienced periodical cicadas and thought it was a biblical plague. And ever since then, people in North America have tended to call cicadas locusts. Now, along with that has come a lot of bad connotations. We know that locusts are grasshoppers. They go around eating up crops and doing things like that. For the most part, however, our North American native species of cicadas aren't known to be crop pests.
He says that periodical cicadas have life cycles of 13 or 17 years, and they're found mostly on the eastern half of the U.S. His guess is that Denise heard and saw a species of Okanaga cicada. They spend years and years underground, but they don't always emerge at once. They're not all synced up with each other.
And sometimes the Okanaganas have boom and bust years. We don't know what causes the boom years or the bust years. It's not strict periodicity, but it seems to be some kind of condition dependence. The growing seasons, the years have been such that they all reach the right size at the right time, and then out they come.
Really, there's a lot about non-periodical cicadas that we don't know. We don't know what signals, what triggers they look for to come out of the ground.
But the periodical cicadas are easy to work with, and there is a project ongoing with them that is directly tied into asking the questions about climate and what has this done to them in the past, and what is it going to do in the future. One of the most powerful figures in climate change research is a silhouette of the state of Michigan. And it's superimposed on various parts of the continental U.S. What would the climate of Michigan be like in 40 years under various climate change scenarios? The most extreme has that Michigan, that thumbprint down in Texas. But that's also fallacious because the ecosystems won't respond that fast. The trees they need won't respond that fast. So you're more likely to see ecosystems get radically remodeled.
And by radical remodeling, he means possible regional extinctions of cicadas. Hopefully that extreme scenario does not play out, and the cicada song is still heard in these parts 50 years from now. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Stay tuned for Jeff and the Wednesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.